Could you turn, please, to Matthew chapter 25? Matthew chapter 25. We want to break into the chapter at verse 14. Matthew 25 and the verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man travelling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged it in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Though there thou hast thine in thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give thee thanks for thy word today. Thank you, Lord, even for the reading of it. We pray you bless it to our hearts. Now, Lord, as we come to preach upon it, we ask, Lord, you'll give us that listening ear. That, Lord, you'll settle us down, close us in with thyself. We pray, Lord, that you'll touch these lips, these clay lips. We pray, Lord, that thy word will find a resting place and challenge our own hearts even today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. An elderly preacher one day was rebuked by some of his deacons one Sunday morning. One deacon in particular, he said to the elderly preacher, he says, Pastor, something must be wrong with your preaching. Pastor, something must be wrong with your work. There's been only one person added to the church in a whole year, and he's just a boy. The minister was just about to step out of the room and come up into the pulpit, and as he heard the rebuke from the elder, his eyes began to become moist, his hand began to tremble, and he said to the elder, he said, Man, I feel it all, but God knows I've tried my best. On that day, while preaching, the pastor felt a strong inclination to resign. After everyone had left, let's say there was a little boy came to him and asked him, Do you think if I worked hard for an education, I could become a missionary or a preacher? Again, with tears in his eyes, the minister said, This heals the ache that I feel in my heart. I see the divine hand now. May God bless you, my boy, and I think you will become a preacher. Many years later, an aged missionary returned to London from Africa. His name was esteemed and his ministry was admired, and he had led many to Christ, reaching many of Africa's millions. His name was Robert Moffat. He was that same little boy who was despised by the elder. That same little boy was the only convert that that pastor all those years ago in that church had seen added to the church in salvation. Robert Moffat was a Scottish pioneer missionary in South Africa. He opened mission stations. He translated the scriptures. He worked among the natives of that country. His eldest daughter married David Livingstone, himself a missionary, doctor and explorer. You see, friend, today we need to be faithful and we must leave the results with God. Sometimes as deacons, as committee men, as members of a church, sometimes as Christians, we can step back and we can analyze things for ourselves and we begin to conclude and decide whether the church is successful or not. God does not bless lazy or slothful Christians. We need to be zealous. We need to be energetic. We need to be enthusiastic in our service for the Lord Jesus Christ. So you asked me the question today, Mark, how do we measure success in the Christian life? How do we measure success in our church? Is it by targets? Do we set ourselves targets? Do we give ourselves goals? Is it by how many people attend our church? Is it by our membership, by baptism? Is it by finance? How do we measure success within our church? Deuteronomy 11 and 13 says, "And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." 1 Chronicles 28 and 9. "Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind." Is God interested in numbers? Well, some may argue yes, because in God's word, a whole book was given that name. And if you think of Matthew 10 and the verse 30, it tells us there that God even knows the very numbers of the hairs upon our head. For some of us, it's not much. But is God interested in numbers? We could be numerically successful, but yet we could be spiritually bankrupt. God is interested in faithfulness. And what is faithfulness? Faithfulness is putting God first and doing His will. Faithfulness is having an appetite to serve Him. That hunger in your heart to love Him, to get to know Him more. Do we have these things? Are we successful? Sometimes churches or even Christians, on an individual basis, they become successful. And then they stop being faithful. When the children of Israel were few in number, they were despised. But yet that was the time when their walk was closest with God. Solomon, he was successful. And yet it led to a coldness toward God. F.B. Meyer, he said, "Don't waste your time waiting and longing for large opportunities which may never come, but faithfully handle the little things that are always claiming your attention." There are Christians today and they will say, "Well, I'll serve the Lord and I'll do this. I'll serve the Lord and I will do that." And they are really like those people F.B. Meyer is speaking of. Those Christians spend their whole life waiting on that great opportunity to serve God. They wait on that big thing. It's like Naaman. You remember whenever Naaman was healed and he came away angry from the prophet's house. The prophet didn't even come himself. He sent a messenger. And Naaman left the home and he said, "I thought he would command me. I thought he would bid me to do some great thing." And so many Christians today in churches across our land and elsewhere, that's how they feel. "I will go into God's work if he calls me to do some great thing. I will go into God's service if it's some big thing." But yet there are every single day of our lives small opportunities, little things that we could be doing for the Lord. Today, for the time we have left, I want us to consider about faithfulness and success. Does God require us to be faithful? Or does He require us to be successful? The first thing I want you to notice is faithfulness in our walk. 1 Peter 4 in the verse 10, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." How must we walk before the Lord? Well, Psalm 84 in verse 11, it says, "Walk uprightly." Micah 6 verse 8, it says, "Walk humbly with thy God." Ephesians 4 and 1, "Walk worthy." Ephesians 5 and 2, "Walk in love." Ephesians 5 and 8, walk as children of light. Ephesians 5 and 15, walk circumspectly, having been saved, having taken the name of Christ upon our lips and laying claim to belonging to Him. Are we walking with Him? Oh yes, today, if you were asked, you would say that you're saved, and I have no doubt about that. But let me ask you the question, are you walking with God? Are you closer to God today than you were yesterday? Are you reading your Bible more this year than you did last year? Are you praying more effectively today than you were last Sunday? Are you walking with God? You see, when all of us have been saved in this room today, for those of us who are not saved, well then you're still a stranger to God's grace and to His mercy. But if you're in this church building today and you're saved, whenever you were saved, God gave you a gift. He gave you an ability that you could use for Him. Are you using that ability for Him? Are you serving the Lord? Are you walking with Him? In this parable that we have read in Matthew chapter 25, the master here that is described, he is Christ. He is the owner of all things. The servants are the Christians. And in this parable, those servants, they were employed to do a work while the master went to that far country. They have been entrusted to work. They are not expected to be idle. The servants have been given something. They were given a task. They were issued work and they had to be faithful in that work. Verse 14, it tells us, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Their master was going away for a while, and in his absence he charged his servants to manage and to work on his behalf. Christ has gone to that far country. He has gone away for a little while, and he has left his goods to us. He is giving the blessings to us, his family. How are we managing those things on His behalf? Are we faithful with those things that God has entrusted to our charge? Or are we idle servants? Are we lazy? Are we slothful Christians? Are we faithful servants? Are we diligent? Do we have an appetite to walk in love and to serve Him and to get to know Him more? In the giving of these talents, and in the Bible, a talent was a piece of silver. To some much was given, and to some less was given. Verse 15, you will notice that unto one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2, and then there was this man, and he gave 1. But there's a little phrase that I want you to notice in verse 15, and it says, to every man according to his several ability. You see, friend, today providence has made a difference in men's ability. Grace has issued the gifts accordingly. And everyone here today that's saved by God's grace has at least 1 talent. You have at least 1 spiritual gift. There is at least 1 little thing that God has charged you with to do for Him and to be faithful on your time in serving Christ. Don't waste your time talking about what you can't do. Don't sit back and tell the Lord, well, I can't do this, and Lord, I can't do that, and Lord, I can't go here, and Lord, I can't go there. You don't need to tell the Lord those things, because the Lord knows what you can't do. The Lord knows where you can't go. He knows your ability. He is the one that gave you the talent. And if you notice there in verse 15, according to his several ability, as the master was giving the 5 talents to the man who received the 5, the master knew that he was able to deal with the 5. As the master reached out and gave the man the 2 talents, he knew that that man could cope with 2 talents. And as he looked at the man to whom he gave 1, he knew that that man would be faithful, or should be at least faithful, with that 1. The Lord knows what we can't do, but it is our duty to make ourselves available to God. It is our duty to take the talent or talents, in some as the case might be, to be faithful with those talents, to seize hold upon every opportunity that we have to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, even if it's going down to Mullingar just to drop leaflets through a door. If that's your talent, if that's the 1 talent that God has given to you, well then you lay hold upon it and you say, I'm going to do it with all of my strength. If it's standing up the town tonight in the open air, just to stand there, just to look, just to stay with the rest of the people who step forward to the mic. If that's the talent that God has given you to do, well then you need to do it. That's what you ought to do. Verse 16, there was a man that got five. Verse 17, there was one that got two. More is required. The more gifts a man has, well then, more will be required of him. These men used what they had. They went, the Bible says, and they traded. Verse 16, then he that received the five went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. And likewise he that had received two, he also gained another two. These men did what they could. These men took what they had. Even to some it may have seemed a little thing. To some it may have seemed like nothing at all, but it didn't matter. That was what they had, and they were making the best of what they had according to his several ability. You see, friend, today you'll never be asked or expected by God to do more than you can do. God does not expect you to do any less than you're able to do. These servants displayed very different strengths. They displayed very clearly that some was able to manage and some wasn't. Two did very well. They were diligent. They were faithful. They were true. But there was one, and what did he do? He went and he buried his talent in the ground. In verse 18, but he that had received one went and digged it in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Is that what you're doing with the talent that God has given you? Are you a good manager today? Can you manage? Are you managing well? Are you a good steward of what the Lord has given to you? Have you applied yourself well to the business at hand, the business of serving Christ, even if it's one talent? Maybe for you it's five. He went and traded, verse 16. There is always a busyness attached to the Christian life. We can't be Christians that just sit there and do absolutely nothing. To go and to trade, the Bible says. They went and they traded. It shows industry. It shows work. It shows labor. The Bible says in John 9 and verse 4, I must work while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Let me ask you, Christian, are you working today? I don't know much about farming, but I know some who do. And I think the silage and the weather and all of those things this year has been bad. And whenever there's a blink of sunshine, whenever the rain has stopped for that short little while, they're working flat out, they're working all the hours that are there to get the work done. The Bible says the night cometh when no man can work. And how many Christians are not working while it is day? These servants were successful in their work. Industry always pays dividends. If we go to work and work hard, if we're at school and we study well, it will always pay off in the long run. And it's the same in the Christian life. But yet there was one servant, and in verse 18, he hid the talent. He was unfaithful. Think of the lepers in Luke chapter 17. 10 of them were healed and only one came back to show any thanks or gratitude to the Lord. 9 of them hid from the Lord. How many people in this church today are hiding from the Lord? Oh yes, they received the blessing. As the Lord healed those 10 talents, they benefited in the blessing, but they didn't come back to show any thanks. They didn't show any appreciation. Are you burying your talent today? You see, whenever you bury something, it renders it unusable. It's beyond reach. It's out of reach. It's not available. Are you available today? Or are you burying yourself in the ground? Oh yes, you're saved and you belong to the Lord, but you don't want to be used. You're rendering yourselves unusable. You're not available for the service of God. This was not his talent. This servant, he had been given this talent by his master, and it was up to him to be faithful with that talent. That talent belonged unto his Lord. And then there came accountability, because the Bible tells us that one day the master, he returned. And you see, friend, today we are Christians, we're saved. If you belong to Christ, we are not our own. The Bible says we are bought with a price. What we are and what we have, everything that we are and everything that we have, we are not our own. And then there comes a day of accountability when we will stand before God, the great judge of all the earth, and we will give account as to how we have served him and what we have done and all of those things. Our abilities and our privileges are not ours. We are just stewards of these things. We must give account unto the Lord. Luke 12:42. Who then is that faithful and wise steward? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Are you that wise steward? Are you that one that is faithful? That one that is working hard? Luke 16 and verse 2, 1 and 2 says, accused, wasted his goods. Verse 2, give account of thy stewardship. Are you wasting what the Lord has given to you today? We must all use what we are and what we have to God's glory. Life at best, the hymn writer says, is brief. It's just like the falling of a leaf. And all of us today are servants unto the Lord. There were two of these servants that they loved the master and they worked for him. But yet there was one servant and he was slothful and he was lazy. Bible tells us there in verse 24 that he began to make excuses. As he came and stood before the master, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Are you standing before the Lord today and making excuses as to why you're not serving Him? Why you're not willing to serve the Lord? Are you a slothful, lazy Christian making excuses every day? For the servant with the 5 talents, his reward was the same as the servant with 2. Maybe you're one of these Christians and you step back and you say, well, Lord, why did he get 2 talents? Lord, I've only got 1. Lord, why did I get 2 and he got 5? They didn't ask the master that question. They took what they were given and they were faithful with those things. Friend, today we need to take what we are, whatever we are, wherever God has placed us, whether it's in the home, whether it's in the community, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in school, whether it's in the church. It doesn't matter where God in providence and in grace has placed you today. Maybe you think that you could improve yourself by this, that, or the other thing, and you would be a better Christian if I could do this, if I could do that, if I could go here, if I could go there. If you can't be faithful in the small things, God will never call you to do the great things. Do you want blessing and reward in the Christian life? Well, then we have to put in the work. We have to go and trade. Maybe you want the blessing and the reward without doing the spade work. You don't want to get your hands dirty in the Christian life, but yet you still want the blessing of heaven. C.H. Spurgeon, he preached to thousands in London at the peak of his ministry. Yet Spurgeon started out by preaching. He started out by giving out tracts and teaching Sunday school. Very often Spurgeon was invited to go and preach in obscure places. This is not like Market Hill. Market Hill's pretty much in the centre of the earth. If you think of Market Hill, that you're very much mid-Ulster here. You can go lots of places. There's parts of this province, and I'll not name them, but sometimes whenever my phone rings and there's a voice on the other end and I'm invited to come and speak, sometimes you just work out how far away it is and how long it's going to take you, and it's just not the easiest of places to go. But Spurgeon, he was invited to wee places that people had never heard of. Spurgeon was invited to places small in number. But Spurgeon used every opportunity to serve the Lord. And do you know what he said? Spurgeon is quoted to say, I'm perfectly sure, he said, if I had not been willing to do the small obscure works in obscure places, I never would have had the privilege of preaching to the thousands of men and women in large buildings. How many of us want to start in the large building? How many of us want to start with the thousands like Spurgeon, but yet none of us want to start off like Spurgeon giving out the tracts? None of us want to start off like Spurgeon teaching Sunday school. You think of the unnamed Sunday school teachers throughout the generations of church life who have taught, who have educated, who have prayed over and prayed with. Missionaries, pastors, children's workers, those Sunday school teachers, they're never named, they're never known, but yet the pen of heaven is continually writing, and the Lord knows who all of those Sunday school teachers are. The Lord knows all of those people who go door to door. The Lord knows all of those people who stand in the open air, and He knows those who don't. The Lord knows those who are faithful. Verse 21, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Verse 26, thou wicked and slothful servant. All of us have an ability, friend. Are you using it for the Lord? David's was a sling and a stone. He was willing and he was used. Faithfulness in our walk. Notice also faithfulness in our church. If our walk with God is what it ought to be, then it will be evident in our church. If the Christians in the church are living their life as they ought to be living, if the Christians in the church have that appetite to serve God, well then it will be reflected in the churches that we worship in. America have at the moment success seminars. These things are held, or courses, programs. They're made available to pastors and ministers and elders and all of those things to make the ministry in the church more profitable and more successful. We don't need success seminars to find out how to be profitable or successful in the ministry. The Bible tells us in Joshua 1 verse 8, this book of thy law shall depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We read Psalm 111, and reference was made there also to success. Do you want to be successful in this church in Market Hill? Well then, Joshua 1 verse 8, it talks about our mouth. It talks about our meditation. It talks about this book. It talks about God's Word. Then it shall make our way prosperous. It's a faithful life that will prove to be a successful life. Are you living a faithful Christian life? Are you serving the Lord the way you ought to serve Him? Do you love Him the way that you ought to love Him? Revelation 2 and 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Are you being faithful to the Lord? You see, as God looks into this church, what does He see? Don't worry about the minister. Don't worry about the elders. Don't worry about the deacons. Let them worry about themselves. Because all, the Bible says, will give account that day as to their stewardship, as to their faithfulness. How are you serving the Lord? As He looks into this church today and goes from seat to seat, as He goes from heart to heart, what does He see? Does He see a shallow, artificial, fake church? Or does He see a warm, energetic, zealous, God-fearing, praying-friendly, proactive Christian church seeking to serve God? Is that what He sees in your heart? We don't have the time really today, but if you want to turn over quickly to Revelation 3, the churches here are described in this portion. Revelation chapter 3 in the verse 1, the church in Sardis here had a good reputation. It looked to be good, but sometimes things are not always what they seem. And in Revelation 3 in the verse 1 it says, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. That's God speaking there. I know thy works, thou hast a name, that thou livest but art dead. Did you ever hear the phrase, you could, if you get the name for rising early, you could lie in bed at dinner time? Did you ever hear that phrase? Oh, that boy there, that boy's out of bed. He's out of bed with the birds in the morning. 11:30, he's snoring his head off. He's got a name of rising early. He could lie in bed all day. And it's the same in this church here in Sardis. They had that name that they were alive. They had a name that seemed to be good. But God, He seemed different, and He said, thou art dead. They believed that things were going on well. The people within that church, they were busy. They thought that all was good. They were depending on their name and all of the things that they were. But God, He saw something different. Notice there in chapter 3 in the verse 17, we could see the church at Laodicea. The Bible tells us there that they were lukewarm. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Thou art, verse 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Verse 16, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. In the church in Laodicea, they were going nowhere for God, yet they had riches, they had much goods. On the outside, things seemed to be going well. You see, the key to their success was missing, and that was faithfulness. The key to their success was having a heart for God. And in verse 15 of Revelation 3, it says, I know thy works. And friends, today as you come into this church building, God knows your heart today. You might dress like a Christian. You might talk like a Christian. You might act like a Christian. In fact, everybody might even think you are a Christian. But God knows your works and God knows your heart. And it goes right from us as individuals right up to the top of the church. God knows our works, as it was in Revelation chapter 3. He knows our heart. What about the church at Smyrna? Revelation 2 verse 8 and 9, the same words are spoken of them. I know thy works. tribulation, testing. Their circumstances were tough and adverse. As man would look on the church in Smyrna, that is the last church in the world that he would choose, because it seemed to be that that church had failed. But you see, it's not about what man sees, it's what God sees. But thou art rich. They were rich in the truest sense. Revelation 2 and the verse 9. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. And look in brackets, but thou art rich. You see, God knew the works of that church. And as man would look at that church, he would say, that church is, things is hard, things is tough, that church is going nowhere. But God knew their works. Things were different. We could think of Revelation 3 and 17. A church that is successful and rich toward themselves, but bankrupt and dry towards God. As God looks at these churches in Revelation, the only two that he approved were Smyrna and Philadelphia. All of the rest had succeeded in man's eyes, but God looks at different things. I know time is away. How is your heart today? How is it? Can I ask you the question, who would you choose from Scripture to work in your church? How do we measure success? How do we measure faithfulness? Well, let's go to the Scriptures. Who do you want to work in your church? Let's get Gideon. Gideon was a mighty man of God. He had 32,000 men. He ended up with 300. Oh, we don't want him in the church. He had 32,000 and then he ended up with 300. Don't bring him about the place. He'll shrink your church. Oh, let's get David. David took a census. He numbered the people. God said no. And 70,000 people died because of his disobedience. Don't bring David. Let's get Jonah. He was an evangelist. Let's get him. He went and preached. And eventually the people repented and the whole city was converted. Jonah chapter 3 and the verse 5. People of Nineveh believed God. Verse 10. God saw their works and they turned from their evil way. Let's get Jonah. Jonah's the evangelist that we need. Jonah chapter 4 and verse 1 reflects the heart of this man. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Because the heart of the people was turned, it displeased them. So we don't want Jonah either. This evangelist's heart was so wrong. Now who will we get to come and work in our church? Let's get Noah. After 120 years of preaching, Noah only saw 8 people saved. We don't want Noah. Don't book Noah for a meeting. There's not enough results. Noah mustn't be able to preach. He preached for 120 years and there was only 8 converts. Don't book Noah either. You see, friend, the truth of it is we can't measure success. And the reality is we can't measure faithfulness either. God knows our heart and God knows our works. As I finish and I know time's away, it's fruitfulness in all. Fruitfulness in all. In every walk of life, we strive to do what we can. If God has given us 5 talents, let's use the 5 talents. If God has given us 2 talents, let's use 2 talents. If God has only given you 1 talent, don't grumble, just use it. If God has only given you 1 talent, don't bury it, just use it for Him. Psalm 115, verse 14, the Lord shall increase you more and more. 1 Corinthians 3 and 6, but God gave the increase. It's God that gives the increase. We must be faithful. We must be true. A story is told of a little boy walking along a beach. At the opposite end of that beach, there was an old man. And as he was walking towards the young boy, the old man with failing eyesight looked towards the young boy and he tried to work out what the little boy was doing. As he met the wee boy, the old man said, "What are you doing?" The young boy was throwing starfish into the sea. The young boy said to the old man, he said, "These stranded starfish will die if they're left in the morning sun." The old man thought for a moment, and in his oldness of time and wisdom of years as he thought, he said to the young boy, he said, "Son, this beach goes on for miles and miles, and there's millions of starfish. How can you ever make a difference?" The young boy had a starfish in his hand, and as he flung the starfish into the sea, he said, "It's making a difference for that one." Friend, today out in Margaret Hill, you may ever only see one soul brought to Christ. You may ever only have one talent. You may ever only see one thing done for God, but it made a difference to that one starfish. Be faithful. Whatever God has given you to do, whatever He has asked you to do, one starfish, one talent, we have one life. And for some it's long, for some it's short. Give what you can to God, and He will bless you for it. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we give Thee thanks for this time today. We thank You, Lord, for this Thy word. We pray You'll take it, write it upon our heart, challenge us. We pray You'll give us that faithfulness, give us that diligence, or give us that appetite to serve Thee. Lord, we pray that this church will be a vibrant, energetic church filled with Christians who want to serve Thee, to love Thee more, to do something for Thee. Lord, bless us throughout this day. We pray You'll keep Your hand upon us and watch over us wherever we have to go. Bring us back safely tonight for the evening gospel service. Bring the unconverted in, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.